Views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Hi, this is Judy Maxwell. Life can happen in an instant. Sometimes you plan for it, like retirement or taking care of your family. Sometimes it's a surprise, like a winter storm with home or property damage. Sometimes it may be an unexpected accident or illness or even a premature death. Whatever life throws at you, you'll wish you had gotten the right insurance when you had the chance. That's where Maxwell Insurance can help. For more than a quarter century, we've been serving the North State because it's our home too. Give us a call at 221-0441 to let us help you review your policies and prepare you for whatever your future holds. Maxwell Insurance, 1378 Hilltop Drive, 221-0441.
A jewel of the North State, a place we love to go and love being members.
The view, the best in the North State, from the restaurants, meeting rooms, and of course on the award-winning 18-hole golf course, Riverview Golf and Country Club. It's the place to belong.
Go in and meet the friendly staff today or go to their website at riverviewgolf.net and find out about their introductory memberships.
Riverview Golf and Country Club, corporate, social, tennis, fitness, and golf. Get it all. Become a member.
It's affordable and fun. Riverview Golf and Country Club.
Hi, this is Mark from Haven Humane Society. It has been a challenging couple of years, and through it all, our amazing team has continued to save lives. We have so many fantastic animals that are looking for their forever homes, and with adoption fees so low, now is the time to add to your family. With puppies, kittens, dogs, cats, and so many more, we have the perfect addition. Come join our team as a volunteer and help in an area that works for you. Walking dogs, socializing cats, helping in our veterinary hospital, or folding laundry. We have many opportunities and welcome all volunteers. For more information, please visit our website at havenhumane.org or follow us on Facebook. On behalf of the entire Haven team, thank you for all of your continued support as together we get closer every day to a North State with no more homeless pets.
Hi, my name's Nick Gardner. I have a show here on KCNR, Sunday mornings from 8 a.m. to 9 a.m. every other Sunday. The name of my show is Poke the Hornet's Nest.
There's no mountain I can't climb. There's no tower too high. No plane that I can't learn how to fly. What do I gotta do to get through to you to show you there ain't nothing I can't take this chainsaw to?
I'm going to concentrate on local politics mainly, but we'll talk about national politics also. You'll get the view of the common citizen here in Redding, California. And remember, today is the first day of the rest of your life. Maybe it's a good time for a new perspective about what's been going on in our town, in our state, in our nation. I hope you tune in and hear the other side of the news.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wayne Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
ACA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill? We all have to pay. The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson state of mind.
Memory Lane Antiques and Vintage is now open at their new location at 1773 Highway 273 in the Shasta Gateway Center in Anderson, featuring new and existing vendors. Memory Lane is open from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. and features furniture, jewelry, sports memorabilia, antique desks and dressers, dolls and toys, clothing and hats, along with hand-carved decor, pictures and paintings, and so much more. Memory Lane Antiques and Vintage, now open at their new location at 1773 Highway 273 in Anderson in the Gateway Shopping Center.
For over 50 years, House of Realty has provided experienced and effective advice to its real estate clients. Experts in residential, commercial, and investment property, we have the knowledge and tools to assist you with all of your real estate needs. Family owned and operated since 1965, we have been an active part of the Shasta County community for generations. Please call House of Realty today at 241-8300. A reputation for excellence since 1965.
This is your Mortgage Minute, brought to you by Mortgage Matt with Megastar Financial. Hey, Mortgage Matt here with Megastar Financial. Now is an amazing time to buy. Interest rates have been lower than they have ever been, but the thing that's different about this refinance boom is house prices are up and they're continuing to appreciate. For every 1% that interest rates go down, you qualify for 10% more on your buying power. In the midst of this digital age, there is still great value in having a person that can hear about your situation and come up with the best mortgage plan, loan type for your particular circumstance. There is great value in meeting with a lender who is local that you can meet with face to face. Please feel free to give me a call. I'd love to set up a time to meet and figure out the best game plan for your situation.
To learn more about your home buying options, contact Mortgage Matt. Call 999-9000. Megastar Financial, America's most trusted mortgage lender. NMLS 1162668.
Hi, this is Matt with Liberty Unabashed, a show on every other Sunday at 8 in the morning. Come check out my music and the deep thought and let me shatter your paradigm.
Let's get rid of honey. Them traitors think they won, but them patriots coming. You fall for anything if you don't stand for something. Some people say it's time to fight, but ain't about nothing, yeah. And I only bout it, God can't bout it, nothing else. Yeah, it's time to fight. And it don't matter if you're black or white. And I know it's gonna take some sacrifice.
Do you come alive in the great outdoors? Do you love to hunt, fish, or cruise the lake every chance you get? See it all at the Reading Sportsman's Expo, April 2nd and 3rd at the Reading Civic Auditorium. All you could possibly want or need to gear up for outdoors with over 150 exhibitors. From apparel to hunting, fishing, boating, camping, kayaking, mountain biking, off-road utility equipment, just to name a few. Reading Sportsman's Expo, April 2nd and 3rd at the Reading Civic Auditorium. Something for the whole family. Euro bungee, climbing wall, axe throwing, enjoy the beer garden with a variety of food. Win thousands in prize giveaways. $7 admission, $5 for seniors. 12 and under are free. Sunday, we will honor our veterans with free admission all day. Reading Sportsman's Expo, April 2nd and 3rd. Go to www.readingsportsmansexpo.com for more information. Presented by Pedigo Reading, Crown Motors, and California Customs.
This March sees the return of Shasta College's main stage theater program with a production of Anne Washburn's Mr. Burns, a post-electric play, a wildly imaginative dark comedy that propels us forward nearly a century, following a new civilization stumbling onto its future. Matinee and evening performances are March 4th through the 16th. For more information or to make an online purchase, visit shastacollege.edu/tickets.
Each year, millions of older adults suffer injuries from a fall. One out of five falls results in serious injuries such as broken bone, head injuries, or death. Many falls are preventable. PSA 2 Area Agency on Aging announces the Dignity at Home Fall Prevention Program, funded by the California Department of Aging. This no-cost program's mission is to reduce the number of debilitating falls suffered at home by older adults and persons with disabilities. If you are 60 and older, or persons with disabilities of any age that meet the income criteria and are at risk of falling or being institutionalized, this program may be able to help. The Dignity at Home Fall Prevention Program was established for the purpose of reducing the number of debilitating falls suffered by older adults and persons with disabilities, thus enabling older adults and persons with disabilities to live independently and safely in their home environment for as long as possible. Contact PSA 2 Area Agency on Aging at 842-1687. That's 842-1687 to find out how this no-cost program may help.
Are you new to crypto? It can leave you feeling unsure of what to do. Help is available. From getting started to securing your cryptos, you don't need to go it alone. Bitcoin 530 will take you by the hand to help you move forward with your crypto journey. Schedule a free consultation with Bitcoin 530 at bitcoin530.io or give them a call at 530-324-5175. That's bitcoin530.io.
KCNR invites you to join us the second Friday of the month starting at 8 a.m. for the Gorman Law Hour featuring local attorney Patrick Gorman, a legal expert when it comes to injured workers, compensation claims, and employee claims. So, if you have a legal question or just wonder whether or not you have a legal issue or problem, talk to Patrick Gorman, attorney at law, during the Gorman Law Hour starting at 8 a.m. the second Friday of the month on KCNR.
Every Monday from 6 to 8 p.m., join us at Radio Wasteland, your local guide to the unexplained and the unknown. Each week, we cover all things unexplained, from the moving stars in the sky to the things that go bump in the night. Visit us as we explore these topics and more as our in-studio team digs deeper with featured guests and listener call-ins. Mondays are rough, but now your overworked brain has a chance for some sweet relief with Radio Wasteland.
Radio Wasteland, Mondays at 6 on KCNR.
Pro Rehab Physical Therapy and Sports Performance is now open at 3673 Eureka Way. Physical therapists Kevin Elo and Rachel Lang have a combined 29 years of experience in helping those who've suffered orthopedic injuries, strains, and sprains. Kevin has worked with the USA Gymnastics team, NFL Combine, and professional BMX riders. He's also helped members of Cirque du Soleil get back into action. Rachel works closely with seniors and is also a group fitness instructor and adept at returning people to an active lifestyle. Both Kevin and Rachel at Pro Rehab Physical Therapy and Sports Performance are accepting new clients. Give them a call today, 530-533-5030. If you are in need of physical therapy, talk to the experts at Pro Rehab Physical Therapy and Sports Performance at 3673 Eureka Way. Call 530-533-5030. That's 530-533-5030 today.
When you're looking to add a pet to your family, Haven Humane Society is the place to start. Hi, this is Mark from Haven to tell you that shelter pets make the best pets. With kittens, puppies, dogs, cats, bunnies, guinea pigs, hamsters, snakes, birds, and more, Haven has a pet that is the right fit for your family. We also provide education, training, spaying and neutering, dog licensing, and so much more. If you're looking for a way to help, our amazing volunteers have fun with the animals while helping us to save lives. For more information, call 241-1653 or visit havenhumane.org. Like us on Facebook and follow our progress as we work towards a day with no more homeless pets in the North State.
She was of divine stock, not of men, in the forepart a lion, in the hinder a serpent, and in the midst a goat, breathing forth in terrible wise the might of a blazing fire. Homer's Iliad.
You're listening to Writing Roots, brought to you by Aspen House Publishing.
Welcome to Writing Roots. I'm Lee Hull.
And I'm Lee Esses, and that only took us 7 tries.
Just about. Our episode today is about the oldest kind of monster. The name is not quite so old, but we are using the term chimera for all of those monsters that are a mix of something.
Chimera tend to be monsters that are half this, half that, or part this, middle part this, end part this, like our quote suggested. But the oldest monster on record, as best we can tell, was the Löwenmensch, which is half man, half lion. I believe it was German. So I think the lion was mountain lion. But it doesn't take a whole lot of imagination to try to figure out how to create a monster if you're just taking Lego bits from this one and Lego bits from that one and sort of mashing them together.
And that really is what a chimera is. The term chimera comes from Homer's Iliad. That's kind of the earliest written record of it. But it's just a mix. And the reason why they're considered monsters is because they were seen as unnatural. Because they were a combination of things that should never be together, they should be feared.
Yeah, you see a lot of the mammal mixed with bird, mixed with humanoid, mixed with serpentine in some regard. If you have something that's somewhere between a cat and a dog, okay, that's not as terrifying as something somewhere between a cat and a hunting spider, because they're more separate.
And there's also a little subcategory of a chimera that tend to be riddlers, and we'll talk about the Sphinx a little bit later in this episode. So let's get into examples. One of the most common types of a chimera is a half-human of some kind.
Of course, the first thing that comes to mind is centaurs and fauns. As somebody who grew up reading The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, fauns were a large part of my imagination. But you also have in Eastern cultures the Tengu, which are a human-bird combination. There are a couple of different names for that, but that's the one that I learned first.
in Western cultures adopted from Persia was the manticore, where it's seen as having a human head, the body of a lion, and the tail of either a scorpion or a porcupine.
I think the second's more terrifying.
Uh-huh. Especially in some of the descriptions I was reading, is that it would shoot out the spines from the tail and then regrow them almost instantly.
This needs to be in a movie at some point. You put it in your book, let me know. I want to see this.
Yes. And then, of course, you also have the Egyptian Sphinx, which is the Riddler, the very much seen as wise. If you can best it using your mind, then it won't eat you.
And I think Oedipus had a Sphinx in his story as well that was part of the prophecy that would bring about his own doom. But having a character be not only physically powerful, but witty, it's kind of a part of how characters can be better than their readers in a way. They can be heroic, not only by chopping off Medusa's head, but by figuring out how to see her, by being smart as well. And the Sphinxes tend to be an opportunity in a lot of Mediterranean mythology to showcase your character's brilliance.
The reason why the half-human monsters tend to be so scary is because it's an abomination of something that people are so familiar with. We know what humankind is. We know what it looks like. And if it looks different, especially in ancient cultures, it was to be feared.
And I think a lot of the before DC and Marvel superpower type characters tended to be in this category. Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, where he has this, in this case, mental half of him that is animal. And then you've got things like Spider-Man, where you have, he's half spider, half man. Your heroes can be in some way, but they tend to be conflicted.
So let's get on to some of the more interesting combinations, I guess you could say. The mix and match meshes of creatures. The origin of the word chimera is, like we said a little bit earlier, from Homer's Iliad. That is the lion head and body. There's a goat head in the middle with the goat udders and then a serpent's tail.
If you look throughout world history, you can find almost any two combinations in some regard. One of my favorites is an eagle in the front and a lion in the back. That's the griffin.
And kind of going along with that was introduced to, at least to me in the Harry Potter universe, is the hippogriff, where it's the eagle in the front and the horse in the back. This is not to be confused with the hippocamp, which will be covered when we talk about aquatic monsters next episode.
But it is also worthy of mentioning a chimera as well. And mermaids, again, half fish, half human.
And if you haven't quite figured it out, the griff part of the word is the eagle. The hippo is the horse. If you look at the root of the word, it can give you an idea of what the monster is. So another beast that is fairly common in Arthurian legends and then in some other places, we're going to describe it to you. And I want you to picture this creature. I want you to put the image together in your head.
This strange creature has the head and neck of a serpent, the body of a leopard, the haunches of a lion, and the feet of a deer. Do you have it? Are you picturing it in your head? What does it look like?
Well, what you described, the serpent head, a leopard body, lion back, and then hooves. But if you really break that down, it actually describes a giraffe.
When these mythologies were written, there weren't a whole lot of travels to Central Africa to see giraffes. So it's very possible somebody went there and came back and described this monstrous thing with this super long neck, but it had leopard fur, but hooves, and then the tail and the haunches. It looked like a lion tail.
So this creature is called a questing beast. And you see it in Arthurian legend. Questing is a pun, and I love it.
Questing, in this case, means barking in some way. But Arthur was also sent at one point to deal with said questing beast, so he was
on a quest for the questing beast. Some of the earliest writings that included a questing beast are from the 13th century in France, and one of the earliest descriptions of how a questing beast is made was that it's born of a young woman and a devil. And I won't get super into the details because it's rather complicated, but if you want to look into it, it's interesting.
And one of the things that you're going to see as far as trends in Chimera are that they are abnormalities in some way. It's the only one of this kind. There's only one Sphinx until this one is destroyed and then they pop up with a different one. There's only one questing beast because they're so difficult to come across. Whereas if you have Fae or Giants, they're a whole race of people that exist alongside humans.
A lot of them also have some kind of super strength or physical abilities. Like in the beginning, the Chimera can breathe fire. The Manticore is either venomous or shoots darts.
And if there is a human element to this monster, it's often demigod in a way. It was popular for Zeus to turn into a swan and all sorts of other random stuff. So they're kind of the gods' rejects that were just kind of sent down to Earth. You guys can deal with them. But if they're half human, they tend to be ones you have to both overpower and outsmart.
So that's generally how you deal with them. The questing creatures, the questing beasts, the Chimera, those in mythology were made to be killed. Usually it took a lot of trickery, a little bit of smarts in order to kill it, not just brute force. That's their whole thing. So the questing beast was killed by a lance. An arrow killed Chimera from the back of Pegasus.
And often these creatures in storytelling are simply in the way. You think of the Minotaur or a lot of the Sphinxes, those kind of characters. They aren't the end game like questing to go kill a dragon would be, but they need to get through the maze. They need to get to the other side of the road. Sounds like a bad joke. But getting to somewhere else, they are in the way. So long as you can get past them, whatever it takes, outsmarting them by answering their riddle or whatever, you can go on your way.
I hope this information has given you some good ideas. Really, if you just take a creature or five, throw them all together in one, you've created your own Chimera.
If you've seen the TV show Avatar: The Last Airbender, you kind of get what a Chimera is. There's a spiderfly, the glowflies, elbow leeches, catigators, polar bear dogs, buffalo yaks, tiger seals, otter penguins. It just gets creepier.
I love it. So just throw them all together in one. Make yourself a Chimera and send them on a quest.
Or make them stand in the way of your hero's quest. But whatever you do,
write selfishly.
If you have a question or comment for our hosts or a topic you'd like us to cover, send us an email at writingroots@aspenhousepublishing.com or find us on Facebook by searching for Aspen House Publishing.
Magic happens between the notes. Linda Bott.
You're listening to Writing Roots, brought to you by Aspen House Publishing.
Welcome to Writing Roots. I'm Lee Hull.
And I'm Lee Esses.
And joining us today is Linda Bott. Welcome. Thank you for joining us.
Hi, guys.
So we wanted to give you, our listeners, an idea of what it's like to be on stage, to be performing in front of a bunch of different people. So I dragged Linda Bott in because she's done this since you were a kid, right?
Yes. I professionally started working at 15.
Wow.
So I could say that's when I first started getting paid. But I have been singing, you know, basically growing up in the country where you've got horses and trees and the creativity of what it is to have imaginary friends and audiences. And, you know, I was the most famous person living in the country.
Yeah. Wow.
So, tell us about how you got your start. What exactly is it that you do?
I was basically just naturally, I think, gifted in the fact that I have a good ear and that my parents belong to Capitol Records. And one of the albums was Barbra Streisand. My brother to this day can't stand listening to anything Barbra Streisand because I emulated every single intonation and tone and breath. And so she basically was my voice teacher. And I learned how to hold my breath and have these big tones. And so that's what I do is I sing. And then down the road, you know, that meant jingles, that meant recording, that meant, okay, do you want to be in this show? You have to learn these lines. Okay, can you dance? So I kind of did the acting, singing, and dancing and did some stage plays and was in a couple theatrical productions in high school and doing stuff like that.
I think the first time I met you was on the local stage here. I was working behind the scenes and helping get set pieces up and on. And it was a Christmas show.
Are you talking Martinis with Santa?
Yes.
I wrote that show.
Nice.
And produced that show. So that was a really big undertaking for me because I had written a song with one of my Nashville buddies named Cam King. And we wrote the song Martinis with Santa. And I, okay, now what am I going to do with this song? I recorded it a few times in different albums that I have produced and actually released. Besides trying to fill the seats, making sure the seats were filled, it was just a glorious experience.
So you are a stage performer, you are a singer. A lot of people have a very specific image in mind when they think of someone who's a performing artist. They think about actors, actresses, the glamour, the flashing cameras. They think about Broadway and all of the...
Jazz hands?
Jazz hands.
Literal jazz hands.
I don't know. So that's interesting because I think we all see the world through our own personal lens. Mm-hmm. So I would say that, first of all, it's a craft. There's a lot of grunt work involved in what it is. People just think you just roll out of bed and you have no idea the grunt work that goes into performing and what it is to, it's a lot of energy to put on high heels and put on clothes. And when you're hungry, you'll take any job. I used to say to my agent, just give me the Ramada Inn. I'll take a piano bar for $30. And that's the truth.
So if you could embed an idea into our audience's mind of what you do, what would it be?
I connect with people. I try to please people. It's an energy for me to feed people, but it also feeds me. So I feel like when I feed them, they feed me. It's a cycle. It's an energy circle.
What kind of mindset do you need to have to do what you do?
Well, I would say a lot of entertainers are very insecure. They need to have the acknowledgement, but ultimately the redemption. There's like a, oh, yeah, you think because I'm tall and I'm blonde, I can't belt out a note, I don't have a brain. That has always been great for me to go, like, as soon as you open your mouth, people are like, what? So what does it take? It takes a lot of chutzpah. It takes a lot of going through doors when people say, no, you can't do that. Well, watch me. You know, again, I heard another interview recently of Kelly Clarkson that said, you tell me no, and I'm going to show you how good I can do it. And you have to believe in yourself because there's constant people who are going to tear you down and say things or, you know, you may be thinking you're saying the word pink and somebody says, look at how she says the word pink. I mean, that's such a weird analogy, but it's true. Does that make sense? So you have to develop thick skin because you're told 9 no's for 1 yes, no matter how good you are.
So think of your very first live performance to your very last live performance. What is the difference between how you feel before stepping on that stage?
When I think about my first really live performance, it would have been like in seventh grade with the jazz band. And being body conscious not sure of my energy, not sure of myself. And now at this age, I'm just, hey, you know what? I've got three different dress sizes in my closet, and I'm going to be who I am today in this moment. And I don't know what's going to come out. I'm prepared. But, you know, I remember this time like 4 years ago in the same place I was supposed to be performing, and they canceled the outside performance and put me upstairs. Talk about pulling out all of my shtick, because I was inside now in a very small room. So, yeah, I was upstairs, and I remember it was summer like this. The fires had been raging. I said to the people putting on this event, do you really want people to sit outside in the smoke? That was just really an interesting night. It was fun, but boy, I had to do some sing-alongs. And I don't know, about this stage of my life, I'm not really interested in sing-alongs. It felt like we were going to do the Hokey Pokey next.
Oh. So what is it like backstage?
There's a variety of different elements to backstage. Backstage could even be a coat closet, because trust me, I have oftentimes had my dressing room be a coat closet where I brought my own light and my own mirror, just some place to change costumes. Into having the real backstage, like in Las Vegas, where you do have the chaotic dressing room, fresh flowers on the table, a piano, where you do your scales before you hit the stage, or your, if you're with a group, you're harmonizing so you can pitch in before you hit the stage. So it's a variety of different things. Now, like this jazz gig coming up, it's going to be outside. So my stage will be the car before I get out there and say, okay, I'm ready, guys. Let me schlep. When am I going to schlep the microphone and the PA system? Tell me what I need to do. You can't have an ego when it comes to that. You just got to pull up your big girl panties and you get out there and let it rip.
Is there anyone in particular that you think has really changed the industry of performance?
Well, recently I saw Lady Gaga, and it rocked my world. Her audience had gay, straight, grandmas, every color of the rainbow, every generation, and everybody partied. And I love that. I really love that. I mean, Cher does that too. People who I think really changed a lot of genre bending are people like Dolly Parton. My former drummer in Nashville toured with her, so I got a chance to go backstage and meet her. And she was so real. I was like, I'm taking your time. I don't want to take this picture. And she goes, come back here, honey. You didn't get a good picture. So I took another picture, and I was thinking, oh, my gosh. And she was as real as the day comes. I don't think that woman has a fake bone in her body. So she's very prolific. And my drummer, Chuck, who's then her drummer and everybody else's drummer, had said that when you go on the road with her, expect a phone call at 2 or 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning, and she's going to be talking, what do you think about this line? And she's constantly writing. And so I think that she's been somebody who really inspired me as far as how long she's been around, and she's covered every genre and written books on top of it.
Do you have any final advice for an author who wants to write a performer in their book?
I would think about the words that I had said earlier that would be self-image, insecure, knowing it, growing it, ego. Yeah. Also going through your fears and developing more of the character as far as finding their apex or their zenith.
Is there any industry lingo that you can kind of define for them so they can use it for their character?
Wardrobe malfunction. Go on with the show, no matter what. Staying in pitch even when the band is playing in the wrong key. Not letting the hecklers make a joke with them, but don't let them disrupt you. Because there's always going to be somebody or something behind you on stage falling. Just malfunctions or mistakes. And you must go on with the show. If I were to mentor somebody or teach them, is that just remember that the magic happens between the beats. It happens between the notes. So many times before even going into a song with the intro, this is what I love about jazz and interpretation, is that I can take my time and I can look at the players and say, I'm not ready yet. And they know if they read my body, we're going to go around one more time, or you're going to watch my shoulder and I'll go in. So that's the same thing with the magic happens between the notes.
All right. Well, thank you to all of our listeners. Remember, if you're writing characters, make sure you find the right sources for how they really can be represented correctly through their books. And as you write, remember what we always tell you.
Write selfishly.
If you have a question or comment for our hosts or a topic you'd like us to cover, send us an email at writingroots@aspenhousepublishing.com or find us on Facebook by searching for Aspen House Publishing.
The best investment is in the tools of one's own trade. Benjamin Franklin.
You're listening to Writing Roots, brought to you by Aspen House Publishing.
Welcome to Writing Roots. I'm Lee Hull.
And I'm Lee Esses.
Today's question is, what kind of software is best to use to write a book? And what about formatting that book?
My pastor has this saying. People would ask him all the time, what's the best version of the Bible? And his answer is always, the one you'll read. To answer this question, I would say the same thing. The one you'll actually write the book in.
The one you'll use. Every piece of software has its benefits, its negatives. You need to find the one that works for you.
We're approaching this question because we see it all the time. This episode, we are just talking about the different options that are out there, our experiences with them, so that you can know where to start in your own research.
So we'll be talking about software programs that help from the beginning to the end of the publishing process. Let's starting with writing the book, the best software pieces to write the book. There are many, but the simplest ones are, of course, Microsoft Word, Google Docs, LibreOffice.
And my personal favorite, pen and paper.
Typewriter for funsies.
The non-writing world will automatically think Microsoft Word. That's what I do my typing in. That's when I am writing my essays for school in. That's going to be the default that a lot of people go to.
One problem with Microsoft Word, there is a cost. I personally don't like it because of that.
That's also why I use LibreOffice. It's a useful tool for people who are not wanting to be online constantly while they're writing, if you don't have great Wi-Fi or whatever where you are, but you want to get a bunch of text just on a page.
LibreOffice, Google Docs, Microsoft Word, they're all simple writing tools. I think Microsoft Word and Google Docs have basic spell check and grammar check designed into them. My biggest problem, though, aside from cost, is that you have to manually save. I prefer Google Docs personally because it auto-saves everything I do, and I won't lose my work.
A lot of people are asking about voice-to-text as well. If you're on a computer, the Dragon speech recognition software is one of the more popular ones.
Phones are a great resource for this. I know someone who has problems with their hands, so she writes almost solely through voice recognition on her phone to Google Docs.
There's one more name in this category that you're going to see fairly often, and that's Scrivener.
It's a little, I think, more advanced than your basic word processing. There's a few other different word processors like Scrivener, such as LivingWriter and a few others. These can be useful for someone who wants a little more advanced help, but it does come at a cost. If you know how to write, if you're comfortable with that, and you have resources to get a good editor, then getting an advanced word processing software isn't absolutely necessary. Scrivener is also good for people who want to do other kinds of writing than just novel or fiction writing. I have not personally used it because I have ways to do them that are free.
Last thing I want to mention in this category is a program called Celtix. C-E-L-T-X is specifically for screenwriting and stage writing. That might be one you check out.
So let's get into the next step. Once you've written the book, your next step is to edit the book. Whether you are editing on your own or with someone else, there are different resources that can help you in this process. My preference is Google Docs.
Google Docs is nice because you can both be involved in the project at the same time. And instead of seeing that little red line and then making the changes to reflect that, you can either accept or decline the suggestion.
So it is very useful. Now, if you don't trust your editor as much as we trust each other, then...
find a different editor.
Or use Kami. Kami is a kind of plugin that allows you to do a lot of the same things with Google Docs of making comments and notes and suggestions on a PDF.
If you're looking that up, that's spelled K-A-M-I. Another suggestion I see a lot of people offer is Grammarly.
Grammarly is an active software that checks and suggests grammar, spelling, stuff like that. Like any grammar software, it is not 100% correct.
It's going to have a little bit more advanced suggestion tools than you're going to see in Google Docs or Microsoft Word, some of these other places. Of course, one of the classic tools in your editor's toolbox is going to be Microsoft Word with track changes. So you can turn on and off the track changes and see how it could read according to your editor's preferences.
Another resource, this is going to be more useful for books that need to be designed, so nonfiction books, is InCopy. It's a little bit more artistic and a little bit closer to the formatting end of the editing process than the editing process itself. And that's by Adobe. Look into it, research it before you invest in it, because it is not free.
The next software category that we want to look at is if you are designing your own cover.
If you're designing your cover and you don't have a lot of graphic design background, Canva can be a good resource. It's free. They have templates that have good designs to them already. However, if you use a template, you are not going to get a unique book cover by using a template. Look to them for inspiration and then create your own. Canva has elements that you can use all for free.
Speaking of free, the program that I use is called GIMP, which is basically Photoshop, but the baby version. Photoshop is obviously the preferred tool because it's now become a verb as well. But GIMP is the baby version of Photoshop and therefore free. And it does 90% of everything exactly how I want it to do it.
I prefer Photoshop. You have a lot of flexibility, a lot of resources. However, if you do not already have a copy of Photoshop, you have to pay for it. Along with Photoshop, you can also use Illustrator and InDesign. Both of these are good for creating graphics. Illustrator is used for vector creation, vector designs. So if you are creating something that looks like V.E. Schwab's A Darker Shade of Magic cover, that is all vector design. You can do that in Illustrator. Don't do that if you don't know graphic design.
So in order to find a picture for my book cover, I can just Google it, right?
No.
There are a couple of libraries you can go to and search for the type of image that you need. Google is not one of them.
There are websites that you can go to, Wikimedia Creative Commons. There's also Pexels, P-E-X-E-L-S, or Pixabay. Use all of these with incredible caution. While most of them are copyright free, sometimes ones that are copyrighted can be snuck in there by somebody who stole the copyright.
As we mentioned earlier, Canva has these pre-designed templates, which include your cover art in the collection.
But they also have a whole source of free-to-use pictures.
So after you have your cover, after you've written your book, after you've edited your book, it does need to be formatted before it goes out into the world. You can't just sell a Microsoft Word document. There are a couple of different programs that will do it to EPUB, which is going to be the most common way to do it, a digital ebook. The one that I've used a fair amount is called Calibre, C-A-L-I-B-R-E. It's unwieldy, but it's free.
The one that I found and used and actually really liked for my book was a program called Vellum. This is costly, but it is a one-time buy of the program. And it does the formatting automatically. You make certain settings, say that you want the certain size of book, and it'll spit out the formatting for you. And it's very intuitive. So before I tried Vellum, I tried Readsy. This one is free, it's online, it does the formatting automatically, but it took all of the double paragraph spaces that I had in my format for a scene break. It removed those. Readsy is just beginning. It is a new service that they offer, so they're still developing it and fixing things.
Definitely one to keep an eye on for the future.
And it functions a lot like Vellum does.
Of course, if you have Microsoft Word and you've used that for your first few because you have the whole office, then an easy one to lean on would be Microsoft Publisher, which I've mostly seen in newspaper editing. It's got some very interesting formatting for nonfiction styles of writing, if that's more what you're going for.
That, along with the Adobe InDesign, are very useful if you have a lot of images in your book. However, you have to do every page individually. This takes a lot of work, it is a lot of effort, but you get the most flexibility out of these two programs.
One thing that you're going to see a fair amount of that I really don't like is the PDF. It's easy, basically every program will export to it, basically everyone has a way to read a PDF, but they look amateur and it can be a bit of a mess. So who do I go to for printers?
If you are self-publishing, the biggest resource out there is Amazon. You submit your book, you can buy personal copies at printing cost, basically.
If you're looking to do a hardcover for something, Lulu offers printing in hardcover.
Barnes & Noble also has more kinds of formats than Amazon allows. Amazon is basically just paperback, and your options are glossy or matte for the cover.
The other option that I see a fair amount of is BookBaby, which looks like it's doing a lot of the same formatting. I haven't used them myself.
Another one that's becoming popular for printing the book and distributing is IngramSpark. They, I believe, are connected with the Ingram distributor, so it's a little bit easier to get into physical bookstores through using them, and they do the printing services. Don't take me on my word for that. I am still in the process of researching them. Whatever you choose, though, it needs to be right for you. The reason why there are so many options is because people are different. Find the one that works for you, for your needs, for your writing. Because what matters is that you have the freedom to
write selfishly.
If you have a question or comment for our hosts or a topic you'd like us to cover, send us an email at writinggroups@aspenhousepublishing.com or find us on Facebook by searching for Aspen House Publishing.
Colonoscopy is the most effective method of screening for colon cancer and is the only procedure that can both detect and prevent cancer in one procedure. Take-home tests can miss up to 1 in 12 of colon cancers and most precancerous polyps. If you're 50 or older, now is the time to schedule this life-saving test. When caught early, the survival rate of colon cancer is 90%, so stop making excuses and get screened. This public service message is brought to you by Reading Endoscopy Center. Call them at 530-246-7000 or visit readingendoscopy.com.
Go not to the elves for counsel, for they will say both no and yes. J.R.R. Tolkien.
You're listening to Writing Roots, brought to you by Aspen House Publishing.
Welcome to Writing Roots. I'm Lee Hole.
And I'm Lee Esses.
Our monster of the day. These can really be true monsters. It's the Fae. Those tricky buggers.
We're talking not only fairies, but elves, pixies, sometimes gnomes are considered Fae. There are a lot of creatures that are vaguely humanoid with a little bit of a magical twist and often have a very druidic nature in their style of magic. So we are calling them as a super category Fae.
With the Fae usually comes an almost human appearance. They have the same general shape. They're a humanoid. But there's something different. There's something magical, mystical about them.
A lot of times they're the people who wield the plant-type magic. So if you go into a Fae kind of realm, they have their own homelands in a way. And they have interesting light. They are associated with interesting kinds of lighting styles and plant-based architecture. Bridges that are made out of vines and life in the trees and that kind of thing. Most of our monsters are going to be either animalistic or way above humans or a dumb version of humans. The Fae tend to be almost equivalent, if not for their longevity. And therefore they're able to be a little wiser in a lot of respects.
But the definition and the traditions of what Fae are have changed and developed so much over the years. So in the 16th century, you had a philosopher, alchemist, toxicologist named Paracelsus who classified elves and gnomes as spirits of the air. And that's definitely not what we picture today when we think of elves and gnomes.
I think, like our opener quote kind of implied, Tolkien has redefined what elves are for us. Until Tolkien, almost everybody thought of elves as being anywhere between child size to the size of your fist.
Tinkerbell size.
Yeah.
But now we picture elves as tall, elegant, graceful, walking beings because Tolkien redefined the word.
And I think a lot of the references that I hear to elves in my personal life end up coming through Dungeons and Dragons. They have a very Tolkien style of elf, although I do believe in the version I play they're slightly shorter than humans.
It depends on the kind of elf. Going back to EverQuest, which was the first, like, digital version of D&D, this is where I got my definitions of elves. You had the high elves, which were very Tolkien-esque, tall, elegant elves. You had wood elves that were the shorter, more druidic-based elves. And then night elves, which are in D&D drow.
And if you wanted to listen to another episode talking about the character of elves, we did kind of mention this style in our Shoulder Angels episode, which was back in February, where we talked about the id, ego, super ego. A lot of this super ego stuff gets applied to elves. And that's why I am including Vulcans in the elf, mostly in just modern mythology.
They're space elves.
They play basically the same role in the story.
You go back in history, and elves are more like Santa's elves. Small creatures there to help, or Harry Potter's house elves, where they're helpers, they're servants in some kind of way. But elves aren't the only fae out there.
Probably my favorite are the Tinkerbell pixie type elves in the movie Willow. They were called brownies. The little guys that just kind of make mischief. They'll move stuff around and they'll maybe cast little bits of magic here and there and they can disappear and reappear. They apparently have a huge hankering for cream. They like get drunk off of fresh cream.
So you have your fairies, pixies, brownies. these are very Celtic in origin. There's a lot of those associations where you can throw out a handful of salt and they have to count every single bit of salt that fell.
That's how you catch a pixie, if you're curious.
Yeah.
And if you want more research on that, there's a fantastic Supernatural episode. It's great.
Fight the fairies! So you also have things like gnomes. Our definition of gnomes in the nerd world are different than...
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
The cost of a thing is the amount of what I will call life, which is required to be exchanged for it, immediately or in the long run. Henry David Thoreau.
You're listening to Writing Roots, brought to you by Aspen House Publishing.
Welcome to Writing Roots. I'm Lee Hull.
And I'm Lee Esses.
Before we get into our question of the day, I want to remind you guys that we are on Patreon. If you guys want to support us, help us out, let us keep creating these episodes, go there for as little as $10 a month, which is basically a dollar an episode. You can help keep this podcast going.
Speaking of money, what is our question for today?
How do you set the price for a book?
I'm going to write a book saying how to make $1 million, and then I'm going to price my book at $1 million so that if I sell one, I'll have made $1 million.
Not a good plan. Mostly because the people with $1 million are not likely going to be looking to make $1 million.
Or maybe they'll buy two books so they can have $2 million.
Still not.
We do not want Russia and China to be stronger. We don't want that alliance to grow stronger. It's already too strong, and we should be thinking through not just this particular horror that we're experiencing, but how much worse it truly could get.
Hemingway was interviewed by the Salem Radio Network. The National Cherry Blossom Festival about to make a comeback this year for the first time in 2 years. National Park Service spokesman Mike Litteris.
In stage two, they're still tightly in their buds. The armor of the buds is protecting the blossoms.
In fact, the peak bloom is expected to come about on March 22nd through the 25th, and he says that they will not be threatened by a winter storm expected to impact the Washington, D.C. area over the weekend because they're still in their bud stage. More from townhall.com.
Hi, I'm cute kid number one.
And I'm cute kid number two.
And we have been forced.
You mean hired?
We have been hired.
To tell you what direct lender FOMO is.
So let's say you buy a new home.
And maybe you use one of those big mortgage monsters.
Or someone your realtor or friend recommends.
And then a few months later, you hear us being forced.
Hired.
Hired.
To tell you about our mortgage team's direct lender advantage.
And then you feel like you missed out.
Because you probably did miss out.
And that is direct lender FOMO.
It's Ryan, and our mortgage team is an arm of a bigger company who is a direct lender, which means our company gets to use its own money and make its own decisions within its own walls. There's no middleman. This often allows us to get you a better rate on that new home mortgage, saving you monthly and lifelong money. We are United Faith Mortgage.
United Faith Mortgage is a DBA of United Mortgage Corp, 25 Melville Park Road, Melville, New York. Licensed mortgage banker. For all licensing information, go to animalistconsumeraccess.org. Corporate animalist number 1335. Rec animalist number 65233. Equal housing lender. I license in Alaska, Hawaii, Georgia, Massachusetts, North Dakota, South Dakota, or Utah.
The Biden administration is taking new steps to provide government oversight of cryptocurrency. Here's White House correspondent Greg Cluxton.
President Biden this week signed an executive order to examine the risks and benefits of cryptocurrency and digital assets.
The president is calling on experts across the federal government to assess and develop policy recommendations that address the implications of the growing digital asset sector.
Spokeswoman Jen Psaki says the Fed will explore whether it should create its own digital currency. Government agencies will also study the impact of cryptocurrency on financial stability and national security. Greg Clugston, Washington.
Americans continue to give President Biden poor marks for his job performance. A new Wall Street Journal poll shows 57% of voters remain unhappy with the president's overall job performance. That's despite favorable marks when it comes to the U.S. response to Russia. Breaking news and analysis at townhall.com. The parents of Gabby Petito claim a new Florida lawsuit that Brian Laundrie told his parents that he had killed her before he returned home alone for their ill-fated Western trip.
Since the disappearance and death of van life blogger Gabby Petito first made national news, many people have wondered, what did the parents of her fiancé Brian Laundrie know, and when did they know it? Now Petito's parents have filed a civil lawsuit against Chris and Roberta Laundrie in Sarasota County, Florida, contending that Brian told his parents he had murdered his fiancé on their ill-fated trip. The lawsuit also claims that they concealed the truth from investigators and tried to help their son leave the country. The lawsuit seeks damages of at least $30,000.
That is Jennifer King reporting. Remember to set clocks an hour ahead, about 2 o'clock in the morning, for daylight savings time kicking into effect now. No time change is observed in Hawaii, most of Arizona, Puerto Rico, the U.S. Virgin Islands, American Samoa, Guam, and the Northern Marianas. More of these stories at townhall.com.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
This is an encore broadcast of Battlefield Expressions.
She walked to the mailbox on that bright summer's day, found a letter from her son in a war far away. Spoke of the weather and good friends that he'd made. Said, I've been thinking about dad and the life that he had. That's why I'm here today. And then it said, you are what I'm fighting for. It was the first of his letters from war. She started writing, you're good and you're brave. What a father that you'll be someday. Make it home, make it pay. They still not forget. Over tears stained the paper with every word that she read.
Good morning. You're listening to Battlefield Expressions, and our guest this morning is Kevin Rappa. Kevin, we've been talking about your injury that you took place where you fell into that JP-8 and coming back to the United States after dealing with your medical situations and everything, and then getting redeployed again back to Saudi Arabia, and then a third tour. And so we're talking about that. In the meantime, you're still going through all of these medical issues. The medical issues have never stopped.
No, sir.
During this entire time.
No, sir. By the time I just forward in history, by the time I come out of the military, I was on 14 pharmaceuticals that they were treating me with for all of these injuries or ailments that I had sustained the fallout from these incidents. Jump into that third deployment, if that's all right, yeah?
Yes, go right ahead. All right,
cool. So in 2004, I was reactivated and mobilized again and sent to BIOP, Baghdad International Airport, Camp Sather, Iraq. So
Yes, you have.
A lot of us have. Yeah, that was an interesting deployment all in itself and quite different than the other ones to Saudi Arabia. As you know, we were more now directly. We really are now in the combat realm.
That's right. If you were at BIOP, which is Baghdad International Airport, that they were mortared every single day and night. And going in and out of there, we ran our convoys in and out of Baghdad, ECP-4, Entry Control Point 4, which was off of Tampa, and which is between Tampa was MSR, which is a main supply route between Baghdad and Fallujah. Mm-hmm. And we would take IEDs every night. Yes. Every time we came in there, they would try to mortar us as we came in. Mm-hmm. And just a quick story on my end, we had come in from a convoy. We had made it in. We had gone to the DFAS, which is the dining facility, and it was 01 in the morning because we were waiting for the convoy set up. We were going to turn around and go back again. Mm-hmm. And they took two or three mortar strikes while we were in the DFAC. And we're sitting in the DFAC at the table, my entire team, and we're eating our dinner. And these mortars hit. One of them hit the building, and one of them hit just outside the back entrance of the DFAC. Mm-hmm. And all of the ceiling tiles had come down, and the lights were flashing. Everything was hanging from the ceilings. And when we started to get up, and then it was like we looked at each other and go, why are we getting up? This is what we do every day. We literally all sat back down while all of the TCNs are running toward the doors to get out of the building because of the mortar attack. And we finished our dinner in the dark with all the ceiling tiles and everything else hanging, the lights flickering, mm-hmm. and everything else, because it's like, well, this, now that they've mortared us, this is probably the safest place to be.
Yeah, and you need your fuel.
And we literally finished eating our dinner in a mortared building because it was probably going to be the only meal we had in the next 24 hours.
Yes, sir.
I mean, just the craziness of war.
Yes, sir. So while we were there at BIOP Camp Sather, as you know about the DFAC, that was one of my duties while I was there. We had two shifts, splitting days, splitting nights for the shift I was on. We had to run and get chow, so a lot of times, you know, outside the wire, 10, 12, 15-mile run each way, a lot of that good stuff. While at BIOP, we daily hit them with mortars, missiles. Missile came in and blew out the hangar right next to our location. We had mortars come in, and one of these days on a mortar incident, just like yourself, right outside the facility. And it happened to be one of the times in my life that I was sitting down in Iraq, and the concussion from that mortar blew me out of my chair and threw me backwards into a brick wall where I sustained some spine polytrauma, TBI, and actually my guts had taken the concussion and herniated out of my abdomen. I stayed in country through all that, too.
I'm not going to say, Kevin, that you have bad luck, but you have tough luck.
Well, thank you, sir. Yeah, you know, after that incident of getting thrown into that brick wall, that night I remember waking up from what I thought was a sleep and feeling like I had a hot rod being shoved through my entire skull. And I was vomiting, couldn't find my equilibrium, I couldn't stand up, and I literally low-crawled out of my tent to the neighboring tent and retrieved one of my airmen, one of my troop, and he had the fireman carry me over to the med tent, where I started being treated for TBI on the spot.
Even with your stomach traumas?
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
And I started receiving these 8-inch-long needles up the back of my neck into my skull and scalp to start doing all kinds of these radical nerve blocks so they could keep me in country for the rest of my deployment. After I was returned home, fulfilled that deployment, I had actually got transferred out through a joint spouse assignment to Luke Air Force Base. And by the time I got to Luke Air Force Base, literally, which was probably 3.5 weeks after my return from Iraq, my body, my mind, everything about this vessel took the fallout. There was no hiding it anymore. My literally everything about me began to break. I was found myself in Walter Reed Hospital, the medical system, realized that I finally needed medical care. They sent me to Walter Reed Army Hospital for two different tours and treatments and care programs, ranged from post-deployment health recovery to the Asheville National Vaccine Healthcare Center. And Walter Reed, for any of us who have been there, and if you haven't, it's a mind-opening experience all in itself to be sitting amongst 10, 12,000 brain-concussed, shell-shock veterans all at the same time, and to be here today to be able to speak to you. It's quite an honor to be here.
Especially with a fairly clear mind. And your survivability through all this has just been amazing to me. You're listening to Battlefield Expressions. Our guest, Kevin Ratha, United States Air Force combat veteran. We'll be right back.
Alan Gordon, Coachmaster Collision. Although Coachmaster is recognized as the authority and specialist in frame and suspension, we are primarily your auto body and truck collision repair center. This includes all vehicles, Lexus, Honda, or pickup trucks. Our technicians are highly trained and have the most advanced equipment to ensure a complete and quality repair. With our knowledge and the insurance claim process, all we need is your claim number to handle your claim. Coachmaster has a great working relationship with all insurance companies. This ensures a complete repair with quality parts and a delay-free process. At Coachmaster, in our 50 years in business, we've experienced almost every situation imaginable in a claim. This experience and personal dedication to the repair of your vehicle sets Coachmaster apart from all other choices. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
Do you come alive in the great outdoors? Do you love to hunt, fish, or cruise the lake every chance you get? See it all at the Reading Sportsman's Expo, April 2nd and 3rd at the Reading Civic Auditorium. All you could possibly want or need to gear up for outdoors with over 150 exhibitors. From apparel to hunting, fishing, boating, camping, kayaking, mountain biking, off-road utility equipment, just to name a few. Reading Sportsman's Expo, April 2nd and 3rd at the Reading Civic Auditorium. Something for the whole family. Euro bungee, climbing wall, axe throwing, enjoy the beer garden with a variety of food. Win thousands in prize giveaways. $7 admission, $5 for seniors. 12 and under are free. Sunday, we will honor our veterans with free admission all day. Reading Sportsman's Expo, April 2nd and 3rd. Go to www.readingsportsmansexpo.com for more information. Presented by Pedigo Reading, Crown Motors, and California Customs.
Every Monday from 6 to 8 p.m., join us at Radio Wasteland, your local guide to the unexplained and the unknown. Each week, we cover all things unexplained, from the moving stars in the sky to the things that go bump in the night. Visit us as we explore these topics and more as our in-studio team digs deeper with featured guests and listener call-ins. Mondays are rough, but now your overworked brain has a chance for some sweet relief with Radio Wasteland.
Radio Wasteland, Mondays at 6 on KCNR.
Now is a great time to prepare for this year's upcoming wildfire season. Reading Electric Utility and City of Reading staff are busy clearing vegetation to mitigate wildfire risk to our facilities and to the community. You can also prepare by trimming back shrubs and tree branches that are closer than 5 feet from your home, clear debris from your roof and gutters, and clear dead vegetation on your property. For information about tree trimming and proximity of power lines, call 530-224-4356. We all need to work together to prevent wildfires in our community.
This is an encore broadcast of Battlefield Expressions.
Been home about 6 months now, and I still have my doubts. Well, I'm not sure how I got here, or how I'm gonna get out. Well, my mama says I look the same as I did before I left. But if she could see inside me, it would scare her to death. I can still taste the powder from the barrel of my gun, and I can hear my sergeant screaming, run, soldier, run. And
can feel the backpack on my shoulders. Got it weighed a ton. And I see death in every single thought. Well, they taught me how to put that uniform on. I just can't get it off. Last Saturday they honored us in a small parade downtown. And when they shot off those fireworks, I nearly hit the ground. And while they smiled and cheered for us, all I could do was stare. Cause part of me is here at home, but part of me is back there. Well, I can still taste the powder from the barrel of my gun. And I can hear my sergeant soldier, run. And I can feel the backpack on my shoulders. Got it weighed a ton. And I see death in every single thought. They taught me how to put that uniform on. I just can't get it on.
Good morning, you're listening to Battlefield Expressions. Our guest again this morning is Kevin Rapa, and we're working on a third tour. He's just taken a heavy strike at the DFAC from a mortar round that he'd come in, and he's dealing with the repercussions and further injuries to his body that he had taken even from the earlier tours of duty that he had taken. And once again, I'm going to say it again. If it wasn't for the fact, I mean, you just showed me a picture of you when you were at your top fighting capability, with your physique and the strength that you had and everything else that took place. If it wasn't for that you were at the top of your game, these things would have completely overtaken you and killed you.
I 100% agree with that.
So, once again, when you go physically, when you get deployed, when you're in the military, even in your general life, your health is so important to surviving just everything that's taking place around us, whether it's COVID, whether it's everyday situations, a car accident, or whatever else. If you're not on your top game, you will succumb to any of these injuries or psychological issues or whatever else. And like I told you before, the good Lord, it just was not your time to go when these things took place. And you're a survivor, and you're an example of how hard it is to be in the military and to continue to strive and be the best you can be, even through very, very difficult situations. It's so important between your mindset and your physical capability.
Thank you. Jump back into Iraq real quick. So finishing up that deployment, part of that history again, led me back to Shaw, transferred out to Luke Air Force Base, where my medical board began. That's what led to me being retired. Fully medical retirement, United States Air Force at 7 years, 2 months, 15 days, permanent retired December 7th of 2011, where in those 4 years of time frame, I was assigned to the Medical Evaluation Board, temporary permanent retirement list, where I had this obligation to follow VA-directed health care to maximize the potential of level of recovery for me so that I could go back to active duty. And again, about 4 years into that, after several orders, calls, going to military treatment facilities for medical checkups to reevaluate and assess, they finally determined that there was no way Sergeant Rafa, Staff Sergeant Rafa, was coming back to duty. My deterioration was in continual declination state. And
was that your goal, to go back to active duty, or was that their desire?
My goal was to serve a full 20-year term, so I had
one way or the other.
18 in, 38 out, being strong enough, fit enough, and with the focus to pursue my medical career as a surgeon, which is what I actually always wanted to do. And, you know, life has a change, of course.
Most people would have given up at the very beginning.
I don't think God has that in store for me, sir. After my medical board, again, I'm now here back in California. My parents, Greg and Joan, are taking care of me, doing the best they can. My father's traveling me all over the state of California for VA healthcare programs, treatments. I was one of the first wounded warriors. I brought home Karma, which is a service dog.
given to me medically through the Air Force, and Karma was a walking service dog with a brain injury veteran, me, before the VA ever even had their service dog program. We helped spearhead the way, ironically, with all of that, even here in our local community. My mother can testify to the levels of harassment we went through for her just trying to take me grocery shopping in this community, because nobody once upon a time understood a true brain injury service dog. And, you know, pointing out what you keep commenting on, the health issues I'm facing. Yes, sir. And if I can have a moment, I would like to tell everybody a little bit about that.
Go right ahead.
Still to this day, yes, as you can see with those photos and seeing me here sitting in front of you, I'm down to about 130 pounds now. Once 205 pounds of fit, lean muscle, as you saw. The chronic deterioration of every aspect that has been lined out, diagnosed, even the understanding, the willingness that the physicians in my life outside the VA scope of care, because the VA scope of care doesn't have the specialists I need, to be honest, so I've had to go outside of that and use my own cash money to pay for health care.
Which is not acceptable.
The specialists, the leading physicians in their field of expertise, are all working with me. We have a real true understanding of what it is that actually did happen to this physical vessel of mine, and that is what I'm working with now today, and that is what has led to that, honestly, that cry for help. I'm living in a home now that was purchased through the VA home loan process as a disabled adult veteran, and entrusting through that entire process, paying all the inspectors, the real estate agents, the real estate departments, all fully 100% aware of the dire situations, the dire straits I'm in with my health, with the need for me to be into a home because I have to go out to Florida for massive reconstructive abdominal surgeries to remove infected necrosed mesh, causing me a loss of anatomical tissue to my body. I was sold a fraudulent home. And so on top of all of this, with what I'm honestly dealing with, sir, which a lot of us are dealing with, these stressors, physical ailments, diseases that are deteriorating us, I, like myself, and I hope I'm the only one who honestly has had to take this on, and if I'm not, I commend all of you for standing strong through this, but to be truly disabled after serving our country, to come home, to being sold a home through fraudulent conveyance of language, leading me into a situation now for where the last 4 years, all of the effort I have put into my recovery has been wasted. I've probably lost 12 to 15 years of what they would call my life source energy in the last 4 years, fighting for my own home that you know of.
Yeah, just the stress factors. What's happened is they sold him a home that was supposed to be VA disabled qualified. And when it came down to it, after the fact, the house floods. It was wrongfully determined to be a house that was in good condition, especially for a disabled veteran. And it floods every time that rains. The mud comes down through the house and through the garage, and it's, he literally was sold a bill of goods, and now everybody's blaming everybody else, and he's having such a difficult time finding somebody to be able to help him get through this. And once again, it is sucking up your life savings, what you have left.
My financial savings is being deteriorated.
Now there's mold in the house.
There's mold in the house. Again, the professionals, everybody has done the reconnaissance and diagnosis of this house that I should never have been sold this home. I should never have been allowed to move in. And then to consciously think about having my abdominal cavity re-lacerated open through the process of trying to save my own items in my garage while it's flooding, put me back, when you talked earlier in the beginning of the show about being back in war. I've been in war, sir.
Since you've come home.
Since I've come home. And every day today, I'm at war fighting for a safe place to live. And as of right now, I'm really searching for a place to get outside of my home, which is really hard for me because I chose a home that was supposed to be my final resting place.
And you believe the individuals who said this is a disabled veteran's home. You put your trust in them, and they sold you a bill of goods.
Yes, sir.
They lied to you physically.
And I am facing this reality. My friends and family, we were all facing this reality that this individual right here before you, this veteran, is stuck now, once again, searching for a safe place to live. Well, yes, I understand. I do hold on, and I have to fight, and I have to pray every day for God to bless me with another day.
my body is in a constant decline of deterioration. It is a fact that I accepted a long time ago.
Well, we're getting ready to go to break, but as we're talking about the situation with your house, and you're just right now, you're just trying to maintain some semblance of your sanity along just trying to keep your health and moving forward. And now that you found mold in the house and the different situations, it's hard. Even when I first heard your story and went out and talked to you at your home and everything, it was so difficult to understand how people in our community, and a community is supposed to support and take care of our veterans, take advantage of someone who doesn't know or is in a poor situation physically, mm-hmm. to where they're making money off of your back and your sacrifice for our nation and your continued survivability here in our community. And so that's one of the reasons you're here today, because people need to know that there are swindlers out there that are taking care of our elderly and our young veterans that put their trust in them. You're listening to Battlefield Expressions. We'll be right back.
Pro Rehab Physical Therapy and Sports Performance is now open at 3673 Eureka Way. Physical therapists Kevin Elo and Rachel Lang have a combined 29 years of experience in helping those who've suffered orthopedic injuries, strains, and sprains. Kevin has worked with the USA Gymnastics team, NFL Combine, and professional BMX riders. He's also helped members of Cirque du Soleil get back into action. Rachel works closely with seniors and is also a group fitness instructor and adept at returning people to an active lifestyle. Both Kevin and Rachel at Pro Rehab Physical Therapy and Sports Performance are accepting new clients. Give them a call today, 530-533-5030. If you are in need of physical therapy, talk to the experts at Pro Rehab Physical Therapy and Sports Performance at 3673 Eureka Way. Call 530-533-5030. That's 530-533-5030 today.
Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Common Senior Living. One of the most rewarding things about what I do is watching the positive transformation that often occurs when a senior moves here to our beautiful, independent retirement community. Seniors can become isolated, find it hard to eat good, healthy meals, and even just get around. I call this a failure to thrive. At River Commons, we solve those challenges. You are surrounded by friendly people with similar life experiences. Chef Shalisa and her crew provide three delicious and healthy meals daily. Activities Director Ernie always has a wide variety of things to do, from arts and crafts to outings on our 25-passenger bus. Plus, we provide utilities, cable TV, scheduled transportation, weekly housekeeping, and more. We see seniors go from survive to thrive, and that is just a wonderful thing. Call today for a tour or luncheon a tour and experience River Commons for yourself. 221-2121 or on the web river-commons.com.
Slow down. Hi, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt. My chiropractic and nutrition practice in downtown Reading has been helping people feel better for over 20 years. We pride ourselves in really listening to our patients and then tailoring a program of nutrition, chiropractic care, massage, and exercise that's just right for you. The results can be dramatic. Call 244-7873. That's 244-7873. Thank you.
Aloha. This is Kevin, operations manager at Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. A professionally cleaned business sends a message to your paying customers. It says you are a company that cares about your image and always presenting the very best impression. Time after time, I've talked to clients who shopped for the lowest price, and after a few months, realized that their professional image was suffering. They didn't know who was actually coming into their offices to do the cleaning, and they just weren't getting the value they were paying for. Be wary of big-name companies that take your money, then hire unknown contractors to do the work. Since 1987, Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, your local professionals, have been offering the best in office cleaning by our screened, bonded, and insured staff. Take pride in your business and say aloha to your customers with the professional cleaning services from Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. Call 221-5868, 221-5868, MauiBob'sOfficeCleaning.com.
Reading is already heating up. Book your travel now to the Pacific Northwest with Alaska Airlines and enjoy daily nonstop service from Reading to Seattle. You can enjoy a cool weekend in Seattle or connect with Alaska Airlines to anywhere in the world with the One World Alliance. Dreaming about that Alaskan cruise? Fly direct and sail away. At Alaska Air, they care a lot. Check out great places to travel and book your next trip now at alaskaair.com/Reading.
This is an encore broadcast of Battlefield Expressions.
About the place he's been living for the last 8 months, and it ain't about the badges on his uniform, and it ain't about the oil like they say it is in the news. You'll never hear him say it don't matter anymore, 'cause what matters most is still at home. Gathered round the table, barely able to get through the day without thinking about him, their life without him. So he makes sure that they know that he knows what matters most. She gets mad when someone talks bad about red, white, and blue. Says they don't understand what it stands for. Said if they spend just one day on their knees in her shoes, they'd be a little more appreciative of that, I'm sure. What matters most is down the road.
You're listening to Battlefield Expressions, and once again, our guest, Kevin Raffa, we've been discussing his return back from all of his injuries and everything, being retired, medically retired from the Air Force, and now you're dealing with trying to sustain yourself with a home that you bought that was supposed to be disabled veteran qualified and approved by individuals in this community. It turned out that the guy that actually did the property appraisal and survey and everything, it was actually fired from Shasta County because of all the swindling and things that he had done throughout the entire area to other individuals, including yourself. And here you are, one of those individuals that became entrapped in his net of lies. And so you're surviving with this, and you're moving forward with your health issues and with dealing with the house issues and trying to get these things taken care of so you can actually live in your home, because now you found black mold and you're trying to survive that. Again, you know, Kevin, as we've talked, a lot of people would have just committed suicide. They'd have just thrown their hands up in their life, and they would have said, you know what, I am done. I'm not dealing with this anymore. I just want out. How have you survived, Kevin?
By the grace of God.
That's the bottom line.
I'll be very frank and honest. The candid truth is I was one of those. I had fellow airmen walk in right before I took that. I was about to be one of us who swallowed a bullet. And for some reason, ever since that day, by the grace of God, and understanding that there has to be a greater purpose and reason why I am still alive, because I understand the feats that I have been faced. I had studied my whole life before the military to be a surgeon. I'd been through medical school working on cadavers. I understand the anatomy. So I understand the seriousness of what this physical vessel that God gave me has been through. That's why I say by his grace. And with that, if I can talk about it and point out a few things. Everybody, there's a real reason why your American heroes are killing themselves. Because we've enlisted and joined the United States Armed Forces to serve our country foreign and wide for the nature and benefit of all of you, our family, our friends, our loved ones. And when we come home and face situations like the ones I've been faced with and fellow friends have faced with, many, I've had friends kill themselves. due to these circumstances. When we cry out for help, and we're even told through the training of the separation by the military, a true hero, a true warrior knows how to ask for help. Because that is about the only training we get when we separate. They can educate us, break us down, compartmentalize us for this military process, but there is no re-education really about coming home. Just like the lyrics of these songs that we've listened to say, the majority of us hear from everybody else, you're not the same anymore. You're not who we remember. But like myself and so many others, what we remember is everybody else that is back home, which is why what we're serving for. And for me, a really important nature is that of my son. I had at 16 years old, I had a child brought into this world by me. At the time, it was an accident, but most likely another act in grace of God, because that was one of the reasons and still is one of the reasons why I fight to survive. My service to this country, and because I come from Shasta County, I lost the ability to be a father or have a relationship with that child. And I'm not the only one. Another major reason why a lot of us take our own lives. We come home in this stigma that is wrapped up around us because we've seen combat. And literally that was said to me here in Shasta County courts. I was unfit to be around my child because I had seen combat. Not for anything that I had done stateside, but because my service to our country, the things I had been faced to do, yes, take life to preserve my own. I was too much of a risk to be around my own child. There's a lot of reasons why we're taking our lives in this country, outside the military as well. But the real reason why, when it really comes down to it for me and my experience, is just lack of support. Lack of support and understanding the detrimental and dire situations that someone goes through. And even if you can just remove the aspect or the need for the desire to have that understanding, it's compassion. We need to be there for each other. And thank you for having me here today, because you're here for me. And
vet to vet.
And hopefully my voice is there, our voice is there for all the rest of you. And why am I still alive? Because apart and amongst all that fight that I've put in through these physical endeavors, I was also gifted with this aspect called synesthesia through these brain injuries I incurred. Synesthesia leads me to smelling, tasting, sound in a way that people typically don't understand, but yes, is true by science, and we can discuss it. Beethoven, in fact, was a synesthetic. I thought I would take everything that I'd been through, this trauma, the life of trauma I'd learned from all the veterans before me, going back to Bruce Compton, to Fred Salanti, Major John Kleckner, George Sharton, Mike Wiley, John Carl Rote, all those who were like my adopted uncles in this world, witnessing the trauma of the family and how that real PTSD monster isn't just within us, the veteran, it's within all of us who know us, because we affect everybody. It's a trickle, it's the root of the tree. This web has delved so deep into our society, we are all affected by this now. And we need to really understand that for a veteran, especially, to find a purpose post-military is the ultimate goal and a real reason for us to continue living. And that is why I'm still here today and why I'm speaking to you, sir, because I had the blessing to receive a phone call from the Pentagon, a GS-15, a handful of years ago while I was still going through the adventure on learning how to walk on my own again. And he asked me, Kevin, why haven't you committed suicide? We literally have your file on our desk, and you are one of them. Why haven't you done it when so many else have? We don't have enough time on the air today to talk about that conversation, but what led to that was me sitting down in that physical body and using what was left of this able mind through prayer and spirit, thinking about all of us, every single one of you, the service members and all of our families and the trauma we all endure worldwide because of war, and thought, what could I do if I had the able mind, body, and this world gave me that opportunity? What could I do? So I sat down, thought of some ideas on how to help veterans from committing suicide, came up with some really valuable programs, some work ideas, some employment opportunities, because really employment is a major reason why. We lose our all sense of hope. There's no reason. There's no purpose for many of us when we come home because society turns our back and doesn't give us a place for employment. How are we supposed to support ourselves and our family or our loved ones? So, yes, sometimes it isn't easy or an easy cause or reason to check out. So I'm here today also, too, because God's grace gave me that reason, and I would like to do what's left or do what I can with what's left of me to leave something behind for the rest of all of you, the families, the veterans, this world. Sovereignty and grace is what we call it, and we aim to help employ combat veterans, but first I have to be able to sustain my own life, sir.
Well, I'm sure glad that the Lord has been working with you and taking care of you. And by His grace, all of us are surviving and continue to move day to day. You're listening to Battlefield Expressions. Our guest, Kevin Rafa, post-9/11 veteran, Iraqi veteran, all the different details that we've talked about going through. And we'll be right back.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction. Do you have a crazy schedule and can't seem to get to a class to qualify for your CCW, CCW renewal, or maybe learn to use that new firearm you just purchased? Consider a private class with NFI. Learn to shoot a handgun, rifle, shotgun, or even a BB gun. Classes are taught by an instructor that you choose on your dates and location. Give NFI a call at 530-999-1822 or visit us online at usgunpro.com. This is Ted Leidy, and I'll see you at the range.
A jewel of the North State, a place we love to go and love being members.
The view, the best in the North State, from the restaurants, meeting rooms, and of course on the award-winning 18-hole golf course, Riverview Golf and Country Club. It's the place to belong.
Go in and meet the friendly staff today or go to their website at riverviewgolf.net and find out about their introductory memberships.
Riverview Golf and Country Club, corporate, social, tennis, fitness, and golf. Get it all. Become a member.
It's affordable and fun. Riverview Golf and Country Club.
Do you come alive in the great outdoors? Do you love to hunt, fish, or cruise the lake every chance you get? See it all at the Reading Sportsman's Expo, April 2nd and 3rd at the Reading Civic Auditorium. All you could possibly want or need to gear up for outdoors with over 150 exhibitors. From apparel to hunting, fishing, boating, camping, kayaking, mountain biking, off-road utility equipment, just to name a few. Reading Sportsman's Expo, April 2nd and 3rd at the Reading Civic Auditorium. Something for the whole family. Euro bungee, climbing wall, axe throwing, enjoy the beer garden with a variety of food. Win thousands in prize giveaways. $7 admission, $5 for seniors. 12 and under are free. Sunday, we will honor our veterans with free admission all day. Reading Sportsman's Expo, April 2nd and 3rd. Go to www.readingsportsmansexpo.com for more information. Presented by Pedigo Reading, Crown Motors, and California Customs.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wayne Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
ACA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill? We all have to pay. The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson State of Mind.
For over 50 years, House of Realty has provided experienced and effective advice to its real estate clients. Experts in residential, commercial, and investment property, we have the knowledge and tools to assist you with all of your real estate needs. Family owned and operated since 1965, we have been an active part of the Shasta County community for generations. Please call House of Realty today at 241-8300. A reputation for excellence since 1965.
This is an encore broadcast of Battlefield Expressions.
It happens to a mother when she is given birth. Her heart is filled with joy while her body's filled with hurt. She holds the baby close to her despite the pain he caused. When it comes to love, you don't count the cost. It happens to a soldier fighting for his home. Fear wells up inside him, and yet he still goes on. Even though he knows he may be the next to fall. When it comes to love, you don't count the cost. You don't count the heartache, you don't count the sacrifice. And all that counts is what you feel inside. It doesn't really matter what is gained or what is lost. When it comes to love, no, you don't count the cost.
Good morning. You're listening to Battlefield Expressions. Our guest again, Kevin Rapha. And Kevin, we've talked about your injuries. We've talked about your service to the United States Air Force through thick and thin, literally against all odds. And you are a survivor. And I just want to thank you for your service. I want to thank you for your belief in God. I want to thank you for setting an example and being strong when others are weak and continuing to move forward, even though you move forward at great physical sacrifice and mental sacrifice to yourself with everything that's taking place. You are an example of heroism. You're an example of being courage under fire. And as we move forward, we're talking about your home and the issues that you're having there by being sold a bill of goods with the black mold situation you have. When you're in your home now, you're sick all the time because of the black mold situation.
Yes.
And so when you were brought to my attention, what we're talking about is finding an alternate source of capability to live. Right now, you're struggling with paying for your home and everything else that you've got. We're looking for a trailer or a fifth wheel, something that you can park in your driveway and you can continue to live there at your home while you're taking care of these situations, but not be subjected to the mold in your system on a 24-hour basis.
Yes.
And so what I'm actually going to ask is that if you're out there as part of our listeners, and that if you have a trailer that you're not using, if you have something that you would like to that you don't use any longer, and that you would like to donate that for him to be able to live in while he still has his house taking care of all these other issues, you can donate that to Homeward Bound Military Family Support Services, and you can get your tax write-off, and we can go ahead and gift that to Kevin as a combat veteran through Homeward Bound for him to be able to have and to use. And then that way you can use the 501c3 through the Northern California Veterans Museum and Homeward Bound. Because that's what this program is for. And this is, I mean, we've gifted cars, we've gifted food, we've gifted groceries, we've gifted clothing and emergency services and everything else. So this is just one more opportunity for Homeward Bound to step up and take care of a veteran in our community that is in dire straits. That you're at a point now where if you stay in your house, it's going to kill you with the mold.
It is.
And so we need to be able to find a way, a solution, to be able to help you continue to fight this battle and still live on your premises.
Thank you. Regarding that, facing that, as you know, I've pursued every avenue possible, even from the VA Home Loan Department, everything in Shasta County, every agency, Wounded Warriors, anybody that I could think of to call as a plea for help regarding that fraudulent sale of a home I moved into that has cost me my mind, body, health, booking, financial accounts, everything. And here we are today, so I'm very thankful that you responded. Because, to be honest, aside from yourself, we and Ryan Clements and his wife Adriana of Arbor Creek LLC, the majority of this community did turn their backs. The society, the agencies that should have been there for my original call to help, did turn their backs. And this is very honorable and a little bit overwhelming to be here to hear you speak out like that and put out a call for help for me. So thank you.
Well, once again, Homeward Bound was developed to take care of veterans that are in need in our community and to be able to move forward, because we literally do not have any local representation otherwise. Mm-hmm. Homeward Bound has been able to step forward and to help many, many veterans in our community and across Northern California that were in need. And you fit that category immensely. And so as we move forward, we are going to continue to look for solutions and opportunities to be able to help you to get move further in this situation on multiple levels.
Mm-hmm.
Also, you're still looking for some legal assistance and legal help in this community. And so if you're out there and you have that capability to help a veteran that is in need, you're literally getting down to the bottom wire with the house, with everything that you've expended, with trying to subdue the water that floods across your property and damages your home to begin with,
mm-hmm.
and then deal now with the mold and your insurance company. Let me tell you what, he's been working with USAA, and USAA has pretty much turned their back on him and not helping. I have USAA myself.
Most of us veterans have USAA.
And I've experienced issues before with different claims, but this is the worst experience I've heard of with USAA turning their backs and saying that's not my problem. And there's too many people in our community to say that's not my problem, but every day they wake up in a free world where you and I have helped pay the price to keep that freedom.
Which is part of the internal struggle I honestly have faced through this, is that I'm back here in our hometown, our home community. And for all that which we have put forward, all of us uniform service members, that which we've put forward to come home to this type of isolation and separation from our society and our community that should be helping, is a tough call, sir.
You know, I liken it to, as long as we're a bullet, we're good, but as soon as we're a piece of spent brass, they kick us to the side and they could care less.
True.
And we see that with our active duty counterparts. We see that with different sectors of the VA.
Mm-hmm.
And then we come home and we see different things like that that take place in our community.
And for everybody to tell us it's nothing more than a civil matter to seek legal assistance, well, as you know, I've tried to do that. And so everybody listening, I really would like you to understand that I have sought legal assistance for 4.5 years on this matter, where I finally did have an attorney who right now is providing some counsel and assistance out of a Joker's law firm. However, he agrees we need to escalate this if possible, or if there's anybody out there who really does feel like they can help, please call.
And so we know that this is just one veteran that we're bringing attention to that is going through these situations. We know that there are other veterans out there, men and women, who are suffering and going through the same thing. And they have no place to look for help, or they don't know where to look for help.
And if, again, by another grace of God, may this be a start to that.
And so this is a part of helping to find a solution and to be part of the solution and not part of the problem.
Yes, sir, because I have a hard time honestly believing that I was the only disabled veteran in our country who's been sold a fraudulent home since returning.
Well, we know that there's many out there, but we also know that those that commit suicide never are able to continue to tell their story. And that's why it's so important to stay the course, to endeavor through the difficult times, because we can't let it be quiet. Silence is consent, and we're not being silent when it comes to taking care of our veterans.
No, it's time that we speak out.
So that's why this is so important. Once again, if you'd like to call the Northern California Veterans Museum and Heritage Center, our phone number in Anderson is 530-378-2280. 530-378-2280. If you have an answer that you can help us with towards the solving of this situation, whether it be legally, financially, or the donation of a trailer or a fifth wheel to help him during this time, you know, we need to come together as a community to help take care of our veterans that are in need. And it doesn't matter whether they served during Vietnam or they served in Iraq or Afghanistan, they put their lives on the line for our freedom. And at the most, at the least, we need to step forward and say, what can I do to help you for what we have in our own lives?
And right now, to close out the nature of what we face, I'm in need of stem cells, sir, to be able to sustain much more of my life. And I'm trying to find a way to get to South America to get those. And this whole ordeal has put a roadblock in that. One last thing I'd like to say on a very good positive note, I want to thank you for having me here today. I want to thank you for everything you've done for our country as a service member and what you're doing coming home with these organizations and foundations you're working on. I'd like to say thank you for all those veterans advocates who came here before us, from my father to John Kleckner, John Carl Rote, Mike Wiley, Bruce Compton, Fred Salanti, and an especial thanks and shout out to retired state senator Maurice Johannesson for all the hard work you have done for all of us veterans of all eras. Thank you, sir.
And thank you once again. I just want to let you know that we're going to continue to work with you to the greatest of our capability and find solutions to these problems and situations that are encompassing your capability as a person living and also as a veteran that's surviving. You've been listening to Battlefield Expressions. Our guest, Kevin Raffa, United States Air Force veteran. And once again, thank you for your support.
Happens all around us each and every day. Someone's giving all they've got for someone else's sake. If you ever doubt it, just think about the cross. When it comes to love, you don't count the cost.